have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 142 of We Have Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film and TV. I'm one half of the podcast, Nicola.
And I'm co-pilot Chris.
And how are you doing today, Chris?
I'm all right, thanks, Nicola. How are you?
I am very good. I feel like I have achieved something today. I don't know if you've seen on my Twitter that I've... Because, you know, if you don't talk about it, then you never did it. But I've been doing Couch to 5K. Oh, and yeah. I managed to do a 25-minute run/jog today. I wouldn't call it a run.
Well done.
thank you. But yeah, it was really good. I was listening to the James Acaster podcast. What's that one called again? Off Menu with Ed Gamble. And guess who it was? It was their 100th episode. And it was about their menu, not everyone else's. Oh, so okay, it was quite funny. And guess who the special guest was who was asking them about their menu choices?
Some sort of comedian, obviously.
Our favourite from Strictly, Claudia Winkleman.
That's cool.
It was really good. Right, sorry. Anyway, I digress. What are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
Right, we've got Home of the Hulks, where we're going to be talking about what we've been watching, doing, and reading since the last episode. Okay. And we got a review, In the Heights.
In the Heights. Yeah, it's a very good album. Anyway, I've been listening to it nonstop. Okay, so Home of the Hulks. What have you been watching, reading, and doing then, Chris?
Clarkson's Farm.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. Probably a little bit off-brand for us, maybe. But I don't know, we quite like Top Gear back in the day. But yeah, this one is so funny. So it's Jeremy Clarkson. He has got a farm in the Cotswolds and it's just hilarious because he obviously has no idea what he's doing and he's trying to wing it most of the time.
Yeah. I really like, is it Gerald?
Gerald, the guy that does the stone walling.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. He's brilliant.
And what's what's the other guy's name?
Oh.
Caleb. He's so good. He's, I think he's about 21 or 22.
He's the star of the show, actually, isn't he?
He is the star. I swear, if he doesn't get a spin-off, then I will riot. but he's just hilarious because he's obviously been doing it pretty much all his life. So he knows how to obviously work the tractors and stuff. And Jeremy doesn't. And he's a bit of an idiot with it. And he just tells him straight off the bat, you're being an idiot. What are you doing? You don't have to do this. it's very funny seeing Jeremy Clarkson being told what to do. So that's good. But yeah, that's on Amazon Prime and we would really recommend it. It's just hilarious. And they do different themes each week. So one week's about sheep. Jeremy Clarkson gets some sheep and he goes through a love-hate relationship with them. And then another one's about tractors and then another one's about like the harvest. Go and check it out. I think it's about 8 episodes.
It's interesting because you find out like how difficult it actually is.
Yeah, it's really people didn't understand this. It's hard, honestly.
But I mean, you know, you've got to be a pretty established person at this point to get a farm, I assume, because the land prices and everything. But you know,
true. Yeah. Okay, what else?
Panic, the Amazon Prime show.
Yeah, this we finally finished this, didn't we? I think this is another 8 or 10 episode one, and it started off okay and then it got better and then the ending was just so bonkers. What did you think?
I quite liked it. There's a little bit of teen drama in there, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't the focus, which was good. And then right at the end,
I think the thing was Chris called most of what was going to happen in the end. Like, oh, this is going to happen, and we're like, no, that's
all
ridiculous.
Of the ridiculous things happened at the end. It was as if they kind of wrote multiple endings and couldn't decide which one they wanted, so they just
one's the most outlandish, let's do them all.
crazy
But it is quite interesting if you like YA things, and this is, it's kind of a bit Hunger Games but not really, but there's an interesting sort of mystery going on throughout, so who's behind the games and why, and it's kind of interesting. So Amazon Prime if you want to go and check that out. I've been watching The Mighty Ducks Game Changers on Disney Plus. I love this show. I only watched the original film not too long ago. I don't know, have you watched it?
I don't know if I have, you know.
Really? The ice hockey one. It's really good. It's got the guy from Daredevil in it as well. You know, the lawyer friend. He's so good.
Okay.
Oh, but no, I love it. It's just so feel good. And you know, kind of, it's very predictable. You know what's going to happen. But it's like an underdog story and you're rooting for them. And then people from the original come back for like a reunion episode. And it's just really nostalgic and lovely. And I finished it and it was so nice. Go and check it out if you want a little bit of a, like, hug and a mug. you know, because we all sort of need
Bad Batch.
Yeah, so we've caught up. I think we are a little bit behind. We've caught two episodes. I think we've just finished episode 8. And yeah, this was a bit of a cliffhanger.
Bit of a cliffhanger, sure. Mm,
didn't someone steal the...
The girl?
Yeah.
I can't remember that.
It was bad. There was like, I can't remember. I'm so bad at Star Wars when it's not main Star Wars. Knowing all the names and stuff. But there wasn't there like a gunslinger?
Omega,
that's the one. But yeah, there was like a bounty hunter that came and they were having a shootout with him. It was like proper Western and stuff style.
Yeah.
And then they shot, what's his name? And they stole Omega.
Yeah.
It was quite upsetting, actually. Hmm. So we'll see what happens here. But how are you finding that?
Yeah, I like it. It's quite a simple show. It's not particularly high concept or anything, is it? But it's fine. Yeah.
True.
Along with it. Okay.
Yeah. And we've been watching the Euros.
Yes, we have.
Unfortunately. Yes. Every time we do this as a nation, don't we? We're like, football's coming home this year. Yeah. No.
We're only watching the England games, to be fair. We maybe tried to watch a couple of the others, but...
Yeah, get a bit bored afterwards.
The first one was all right.
Yes.
Because we won, basically.
Well, we scored one, right?
Yeah. The second one was awful. I don't know what Harry Kane's doing.
No, England-Scotland, it was so boring. so boring. Yeah.
Harry was rubbish in both games.
I know
what's going on. I guess you can't really get rid of your captain, can you? That's the problem.
No, true. Maybe he's like their talisman.
Talisman.
Yeah. Is that the right phrase?
I don't know.
You know, the token person.
Yeah, it makes sense. What you're saying makes sense, but I'm not sure that's the correct terminology.
Okay.
Who's our talisman?
Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I apologise. I do rugby. I don't do football. Okay.
Sure.
Right. So films. Out on Disney Plus, it's Luca. And what did you think of this?
Yeah, it's just quite a nice story. Nice setting.
Yeah.
Nice story. Looks good.
Hmm.
Fairly simple.
I liked that, and I respect Pixar for doing that, because a lot of theirs are quite existential, sort of deep, sort of like if you're thinking about Soul and Inside Out, it's always sort of who are we and what are we doing with our lives and stuff. Whereas this was like, it's a summer holiday, there's gelatos, there's Vespers, there's pasta.
You could just sort of enjoy it and switch off a little bit.
Exactly. It was such a nice sort of, because obviously we haven't been on a holiday for so long.
That is true.
And this was like being back in Italy. It embodied it so well, and they captured the colours and the food and everything, and it was just really, obviously Italy's my favourite place, so I was like, I love this film so much. I just really enjoyed it, and it was really nice. And as you said, it was quite simple, but I kind of wanted that. And obviously Pixar films break your heart all the time, so I was kind of glad they didn't with this.
Yes.
Because I don't know if I could have dealt with that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not the right time for it.
It's quite mentally and emotionally quite taxing. So this was quite a nice refreshing break.
Yes. Indeed. We watched The Hitman's Wife Bodyguard.
Yes, so this is an unlimited screening.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember right. What did you think about this?
I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's very good. It was good. It was a good movie. I enjoyed
it. Not much more to say about it, really.
Lots of gunfire, lots of... I
feel like it was a bit more violent than the first one.
Maybe. I think his character might have been a bit sillier than in the... Was he sillier?
I think so.
I think he's got one mode at this point, hasn't he? It's Deadpool, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And he just sort of channels that the whole way through.
It's just him, and that's what he plays, which is fine. I enjoy his character. But,
and then Samuel Jackson was obviously, he did his trademark quite all the time and stuff.
Motherfucker. All right, sure.
He has to get that into every film, I think. But for me, Salma Hayek was just the standout. I love her so much. She's so funny.
She's great.
The twist at the end, I did see that. I turned around to you, didn't I? And I was like, I think they're going to do this. And they did. And I was like, oh, it was just brilliant. Like, it was obviously, it's quite generic and it's very by the book. But I did kind of enjoy it. And as long as you sort of embrace what it is, I think you kind of enjoy it.
This is a very specific type of film.
Yes.
And it's like, what's wrong with that? It's like, it's fun. It's good.
True. Yeah. Cruella. We forgot to mention last time, so let's quickly talk about this. So this is Disney Plus 2, and this is the two Emmas, isn't it? So Emma Stone and Emma... I was going to say Emma Bunton. Yes, Emma Stone and Emma Thompson.
Thompson.
Yes. What did you think about Cruella?
Yeah, it was interesting. It kind of retconned Cruella a little bit because it made her the kind of good guy.
Yeah, which is weird. I'm like, that's the one thing that sort of annoyed me about this film. I'm like, I shouldn't like the person who's like animal cruelty and skins those of Dalmatians and stuff.
But then does she do that in the end?
Well, no.
Is that just the impression we get from the animated films? But then actually...
But she does go on to do that, right?
Does she?
I
the implication is no, because we like
Well, she
her.
Doesn't do it now, but she might do it in the future.
Well, if she does, then I'm out. Right. I don't really understand that. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a bit confusing. The sort of continuity maybe changed it a little bit.
Perhaps. Mm. Yeah, but it's a good film.
Yeah, it was very stylish, wasn't it?
Very stylish.
The costumes were great. The soundtrack was good.
Emma Stone's great.
Emma Stone's great. Both Emmas were fantastic. I really liked Paul Walter Hauser. I thought he was fantastic too.
Who's Paul Walter Hauser?
He was the Horace. So he was the guy who did some of the... are they called? Like heists with them.
Sure.
I thought it was great. And then he dressed up as Cruella at one point. He was a bit of the star of the show, I think. Also, Kevin Novak was in it from that show we like, What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yeah.
Which was funny. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Indeed. Okay, so what have we been doing then?
So we went to the Prince Charles with Geico. Mm-hmm. We had a day with them. We went to their gaff, played some video games.
Board games.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching it with an audience because obviously I think it came out through lockdown, didn't it? So we were all in our houses watching it.
Yeah.
And there's just something about having an audience watching a comedy, I think. And what made me laugh so much was obviously, what's that called? The song in it. Jamie Dornan's song, Edgar's Prayer, that's the one. Oh, when that, even before it came on, people were chuckling, weren't they? They're like, we know it's coming. So, so much fun. I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, then just take a chance on it, I think. It's very silly and a bit Austin Powers, but I really enjoyed it. Had a good time. And we went back to Nando's for like the first time in ages. Mm-hmm. So, that was good. It's all table service now, which is nice. They bring it to you, which is good.
Less people and they bring their food to you. It's like
perfect. Yeah, exactly. I've been watching some films at Tribeca Film
Festival.
They
always bring the film to you. I mean the food. Oh God, I've ruined everything.
You order it at the table. And they bring it to you. Yeah, okay.
And they bring it to you because they always bring it to you. That's my point. Never mind, keep going.
Okay. I've been watching some films from Tribeca Film Festival. It's been a bit of an experience, shall we say the least, with this one. It's possibly not my favourite film festival so far. Yeah. I've still got to do some reviews, but I've been watching a couple of things like Werewolves Within, which is so much fun. Do look out for that one that comes out. It's hilarious. It's based on the TV game. It's based on the game.
Right.
And that's really fun. And yeah, I've been watching a couple of other things. Some documentaries. She Can't Surf, which was quite good, about the pay differences between women surfers and male surfers, which was kind of interesting. Mm. I had no idea. Also some things like, I can't remember what it's called now, 12 Mighty something. It's like The Ducks, but with American football.
Okay.
Which is strange. Also the Anthony Bourdain documentary, which was very sad. I'm going to London today to see Fast and Furious 9 and In the Earth. Ooh. So I'll be reporting about that later on.
It's going to be nuts, I'm sure.
Yes. 2 hours and 25 minutes. How insane is that for a Fast and Furious film?
It's a bit long for a Fast and Furious
film. Just for them to be like, family.
Yeah. I ain't got something. I got family.
I ain't got friends. I got bam.
Yeah. I wonder how many tanks, submarines, airplanes.
Well, aren't they nearly going to space? Not quite, fully, but nearly to space. Or is that another one? Is that a future one? I don't remember.
I could see that.
They're in a rocket of some description.
They've got to bring it up to the next level somehow. Yeah.
Well, isn't Han coming back in this one?
Who?
Yeah, so Han's coming back, and also Charlize Theron's character. Also, Jason Statham and Helen Mirren are back in this one, his mum. So, I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so shall we get on with our In the Heights review?
Let's.
Once upon a time, in a faraway land called Washington Heights. Say it so it doesn't disappear.
Washington Heights! Lights up on Washington Heights. Up at the break of day, I wake up and I got this little punk I gotta chase away. Pop the grate at the crack of dawn, sing while I wipe down the awning. Hey y'all, good morning.
So In the Heights finally came to UK shores on Friday, June the 18th, directed by John M. Chu, who also did Crazy Rich Asians. Synopsis for this film is a film version of the Broadway musical in which Usnavi, a sympathetic New York bodega owner, saves every penny every day as he imagines and sings about a better life. So Chris, what were your thoughts, feelings and initial reactions after watching In the Heights?
Right, well, I really like Lin-Manuel Miranda, so I was quite excited about this. I really like Moana, that's my favourite.
Of course.
And I really like Hamilton as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Very good stuff. I was expecting good things from this movie.
Okay.
I haven't seen the Broadway musical, so I had no preconceptions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the kind of Latin vibes, I was expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big fan favourite for a lot of people. It won a load of Tony Awards. And this was obviously what came before Hamilton. So this was Lin-Manuel Miranda's first big musical.
Right.
And it went from I'd say student union type theatre to going on to Broadway. And sure. I think it stayed there for 3 to 5 years. So it was quite a big one.
Sure.
Yeah, but obviously only on Broadway. I don't think it's ever come to the West End. So potentially why UK viewers haven't quite, had the same reaction to US.
Probably, yeah.
Sorry, continue. Bit of background.
Yes. That explanation kind of makes sense to me. It feels like a first production.
Okay.
It feels like his first thing. To me, it felt a little bit less polished and a little bit less produced than the Hamiltons. You could see...
The Hamiltons.
Than his Hamiltons.
You can see... A lot of themes come from that too.
The sound of the music and stuff has the kind of rappy stuff felt very similar to Hamilton, but maybe a little bit less polished, a little bit less there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've only listened to the music the one time. I only watched it once, so I've only heard the music once. So it takes me a while to get
into
used to
it.
Some
music
and
well,
stuff,
we
so.
Made it's an interesting point. Sorry, just to go a little bit off topic, but musical wise, there's a lot of people that listen to the soundtrack before they see musicals.
That
just
makes
so they're
sense to me. Yeah,
but. Do you not? I kind of don't want to spoil it, but then I want to know the songs, if that makes sense. Because I know we went and saw, what's it called? Wicked. And I only ever knew Divine Gravity. So I was waiting for that the whole time through the musical. Yeah. And then when it happened, I was like, and that was the best bit about the whole friggin' musical.
Agree, yeah.
Which is possibly controversial. I think a lot of people are listening
sure
going, how dare
it,
you?
But yeah, for me, I didn't enjoy it particularly either. I think, There is a bit
but
of a
But then,
thing there
like,
music.
Flip that on the head. I listened to the Greatest Showman soundtrack a lot before the film.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing. The music is fantastic. The film was a little bit not...
Never let down.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So it works both ways. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so I'd say my overall reaction is it was fine. It was okay. It was felt like a first attempt.
Okay.
To me.
Ooh, a first attempt for Hamilton sort of thing. Is that what you mean?
First attempt for Miranda kind of writing something.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Can
we get a clarification on it was fine or it was fine? Is that an up fine or a down fine?
It was I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I think it was maybe a little bit, I think the writing was a little bit, like the story. Wasn't amazing. It felt a little bit soapy to me, honestly.
Oh,
In terms of the story and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Not my favorite of his works.
Okay.
You?
Me?
How about you?
I really enjoyed it. However, I will caveat that with it was too long.
Okay.
That was my main issue with this film. It was 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I know they already cut down a couple of songs from the musical to make it under that runtime, but still, that's still quite a long time. And I think the thing with me was there were so many different sprawling plots. It was kind of, it took a long time for all the different pieces to come together, I think.
Okay. Maybe.
There were so many different things that they wanted to talk about in it, undocumented people.
Sure.
And then also there was obviously gentrification of the neighborhood and how businesses had to move out of their own neighborhood because they were getting bought out. And then there were different storylines like Usnavi wanting to go back to Dominican Republic, but then also his lover lady, wanted to be like a designer, and there were a lot of things to kind of
indeed.
Okay, yes. So sorry. Very haberdash thoughts there, but overall, yeah, I really loved it. I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. I have written about it, if you want to go and check that out, in the Film Hounds magazine.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of it was in like Moana already and stuff. I know it's a different area of the world, but a lot of the same storylines and stuff sort of came into that, and I feel like that's just a better movie personally. Like with the grandma in it, there's a grandma, similar kind of thing going on. There's the whole trying to get away from your island kind of thing.
True.
Yeah, some similar themes.
Okay.
I'm going to put that in there and say I preferred the way Moana did it. So
okay.
just my two Satoshis there.
But it was just, it was so, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but for me it was just so joyous and such a celebration of life and immigrants and that neighborhood, and yeah, I don't know, it was just really nice and colorful and singy and atmosphere. So characters and performances, we've just not recorded what we've just done, so hopefully this will be a bit more concise.
Sure.
Well, who were your top cast members, would you say?
Usnavi's the only one that I can remember by name.
Okay.
Because I really liked his story, and it was clever how they made us know his name.
Yes, but it was really sweet.
I don't think they put in enough work to kind of really cement them into our minds, perhaps.
Okay, for me, I loved Anthony Ramos. As I said previously, he's also been in Hamilton, big shoes to fill, and I think he filled them very well. My personal favorite there was Benny. I thought Corey Hawkins was so good as Benny, and he did his dispatch rap. That was hilarious. I loved that. And he was such a positive force in this. But as Chris pointed out, when we last recorded this, he didn't really have a proper arc. Like, he was a supporting character for the other characters, like Nina, and then Nina's father, Kevin. And that was kind of sad. Like, I thought he was really great, and he deserved a bit more of a sort of ending.
Yeah, I felt that was true of all of the secondary characters.
Yeah.
They all had sort of stories, but they didn't feel like they were really completed.
Yeah, they sort of second fiddle to the Vanessa and Usnavi sort of story, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, my other favourites were Olga Meredith as Abuela. She was very, very good. And when she had her own number, I can kind of see her potentially getting a nod for best supporting character. So look out for that one. Also, Sonny was great. Gregory Diaz, the fourth. I thought he was he had a great energy, and then his sort of developments later on in the film.
He's the cousin, by the way.
Yeah, he's the cousin, and he was fighting to go to college because he was undocumented, but he really wanted to go, and with his help of Usnavi, potentially that might happen. But yeah, that's the thing. It kind of left things open quite a lot, didn't it?
Yeah.
I also really loved Stephanie Beatrix from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I thought she was great. And obviously Lin-Manuel Miranda's Proagra. Do you want to sing it again?
No. <That's>
you missed that.
The moment's passed.
See, the characters were fantastic, but as I said, there's potentially a bit just too many of them. too many plots going on.
Right. And they didn't kind of have enough time to finish the whole kind of thing.
Exactly. Okay, so cinematography, soundtrack, and costumes. What did you think of the production, Chris?
Yeah, it looked great, sounded great. As I said before, I haven't really got used to the songs yet, so I can't really say if I love them kind of thing.
How dare you? I've made a playlist.
It takes me a while to get into songs and stuff.
I made a playlist with Bo Burnham's Inside and also In the Heights, my favourites.
Very strange.
Bit of a different Yeah, there were some definite biggies there, wasn't there? I think for me, the standouts were In the Heights, the opening sequence. That was like 7 minute long opening. I think that worked really well. Benny's Dispatch, as I said, was just really uplifting and really nice. I really liked that. 96,000 was, I think, the big showstopper, really, wasn't it? The one where everyone sort of got involved at the swimming pool. And then obviously the Carnival del Barrio. That was also a biggie. And then When the Sun Goes Down, they were my favourites.
Okay.
So cinematography and costumes?
Yes. It looked good.
Is that all you had to say? You said, I've got more to say. That's not
really
soundtrack.
I the scene where they kind of spun the set around or something.
When the Sun Goes Down.
Is that?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it was clever.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you exactly how they did that. Well, I mean, I assume something actually spun around.
You sort of compared it to Inception.
Yeah.
That sequence spinning room. With the,
yeah. They must have spun the set around.
Yeah, I really want to know how they did that, actually.
I guess the background was just CGI, was it?
Maybe.
And they just spun that bit of wall around. But you could tell that it was turning because of the way she kind of sat in the window, so she was up against the wall and he had his foot against the wall kind of thing, so that when it turned around... Yeah, I don't know, it was clever. Yeah.
There were some definite wires, maybe, potentially wires happening.
Okay, interesting. Mm. Not sure about that, but yeah, maybe.
Okay, anything else?
Looked good. Cinematography and stuff. Yeah, I haven't really thought about anything, to be honest. What about you?
Okay, I thought the production values were really, really well done. Just the amount of extras they had on set as well. Okay. So, as I said, the opening in the Heights, there was this amazing shot. And I don't know whether it was like transposed onto the window or not, but Usnavi was looking out the window and the camera was looking at him in the window and you could see the dancers in the background in the window. That was a really, really nice shot. And I'm thinking, my mind was blown. I was like, is that real?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Either the camera was really far away and it was like a zoom lens because you couldn't see the camera in the window or it was some CGI trickery or something.
Trickery. Yeah. But as it opened, you know when he walked down the street and then he had chewing gum on in the shoe and the grate was like a DJ, he went... Do you not remember that bit? Oh, no, it was, I would think that worked really well. But yeah, no, the dancing and the production was just really, really good. 96,000 was another highlight, as I said. Everyone in the pool and how they managed to, there were a lot of like overhead shots looking down. And I don't know how they managed to do that. It was like La La Land, Another Day of Sun. How they managed to get all the supporting cast and all the extras in exactly the right place. And
yeah, I'm feeling like I need to watch it again and really kind of soak
pay attention.
Soak it all in.
Yeah. also, the dancing sequences, you know, when they went to that club, that was fantastic. The Salsa Club.
Sure.
They did that really well. And then the carnival song, that was great. Do you not remember where she was taking the mick out of them? I've never seen so many Latin people look so scared of the sun.
Yeah, where they were all just sort of standing around. And, yeah.
It was really great. And I liked how there are so many sort of flags on display, and like Mexican flag and Dominican Republic flag. And it was just felt really nice. We won't go in too much into that because there's been a bit of criticism and we're obviously not the... Right, people
to comment
sure. at all. So, but yeah, I liked it in that sense. But yes, I reserve judgment, I think.
Yeah.
I think they managed, for me, I think they caught the atmosphere of New York really well as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so verdict and rating, Chris. How would you rate In the Heights?
Give it one thumbs up. Enjoyed it. It was right. Yeah,
great.
It was pretty good. But it was no Hamilton and it was no Moana for me. So you know, I think on the hierarchy of Lin-Manuel Miranda Productions, I know he didn't like direct it or anything, but it was probably down at the bottom somewhere.
Ooh.
But you know, that's still pretty good because it's Lin-Manuel Miranda. You know.
Yes.
So, and the thing that kind of got me as well, aside from the whole girlfriend, you know, for like one.
One day
thing, and then he had this dream and he gave up on it.
Yeah, that's what got me. I know, completely spoilers. I'll mark this as spoiler special review. Yeah, sure, sort of thing. Sure. Spoiler filled review. Everyone always tells you don't give up your dream for
like in Moana. She was like, I've got to get away from the island. And everything was trying to bring her back to the island. And then in the end she brought her whole like
family,
island out
community.
And they brought the boats back and they were traveling again. It was all lovely, you know. But in this, I felt like he kind of gave in almost. And then,
He gave up on a dream for a girl.
It's called In the Heights, so you'd imagine that it would end in the Heights.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be a movie about leaving the Heights. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I feel like they tricked you because like the whole way through, he was telling his story to his kids and they were in the Dominican Republic, like on a beach. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, this looks amazing. And then it just transpired that it was his shop, but decorated.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a, what do you call that? Like a rug pull.
Yeah.
Twist? Plot twist. Mm. Yeah. But it felt wrong. It felt the wrong way that you would... Twist
I know what
it.
You mean. Maybe it's because we like traveling. We're go. Seek nicer places.
I'm not a city dweller. Really.
Okay, yes.
But many people are. Mm. So this is probably for them, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, that was my feeling. I give it one thumbs up, yeah. What about you?
This is a tricky one. I give it 4.5 stars on the website. So probably like 1.5 thumbs up. You're like, sure. You're so naughty. You can't
That's a solid 2 thumbs up, I'd say, 4.5.
Okay. I did feel like it was a little too long. And as we previously said, some characters didn't get their endings.
Didn't quite get there.
But I like the post-credit scene. That was quite sweet.
What happened in the post-credit scene?
Oh, goodness. So it was Lin-Manuel Miranda and the ice cream Mr. Softy.
Oh, yeah.
And they sort of became friends.
Oh, okay.
So sure. That was quite nice.
Sure. Mr. Softy won, though, right?
Yeah, clearly.
Ice cream van versus... Yes.
True. Anyway, how would you have felt if... Would it have been different if Lin-Manuel Miranda was in the... leading role, do you think, or?
I don't know. He is a little bit older now, isn't he?
Mm.
Perhaps he kind of worked as more of an older. Yeah.
He looked like a kind of an old dad in this, which surprised me. I was like, oh, what happened?
Dad vibes, yeah.
Sure. But yes, his next film, his directorial debut, Tick, Tick, Boom. The trailer came out. Andrew Garfield is the leading man. I'm excited for this. So it's the guy who did Rent, the musical. Right. This was the musical before Rent.
We'll see. Give it a go.
So yeah, let us know what you thought of In the Heights and whether we are right or wrong.
Whether we are right or incredibly wrong.
Indeed. So thank you so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, let us know what your thoughts were on In the Heights and what your favourite song from the soundtrack is and whether you think Chris should give it another chance. Then how'd they go about doing that? Thank you, Chris.
Right, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at We Have a Hulk Pod, and we're on Twitter where we're most active at We Have a Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Nicola also does some amazing writings on her website, wehaveahulk.co.uk.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. If you want to go old school and send us an email, then it's wehaveahulkpod@gmail.com. So in upcoming releases, we will probably be talking about F9, the Fast Saga.
Yes, I imagine so.
Which is only out in a couple of days. So I might talk about this super quickly at the end of the episode. Who knows?
Yeah.
Also, Voyagers looks kind of intriguing. Maybe we'll talk about that one soon. Also, Freaky. So Freaky is like Freaky Friday, but it's a horror twist. So he switches body with a younger girl and he's a serial killer. And it looks kind of interesting, actually. It's like a horror comedy with not Owen Wilson, but the other one. You know, when the wedding crashes. Wilson. It was Vince Vaughn, after all that.
Yeah, it's definitely not Wilson. Sure.
Definitely not Owen Wilson. No. So once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope to see you next time.
Bye.
Wilson.